Welcome to the podcast To Be Named Later, where we explore the world a conversation at a time. Sit back and enjoy. Here are your hosts, Chris and Kelly.
Hello, all. Welcome back to the podcast To Be Named Later. I'm Chris here with my co-host, Kelly. How you doing, Kelly?
Hey, Christopher. How's it going, man? Another week, week two of the NFL under our belts. I'm doing okay, but why don't we start it out? I guess you'll tell us how we're both doing. Want to pull up our picks and our standings?
Absolutely. This is a week I'm a little happier to talk about. So heading in after week one, you had a two-game lead on me. Coming out of week two, I made up all the ground and then some, and we're heading into week three, me one game ahead, buddy. So I went 11-5, picking up a little steam, doing a little better now. You're hugging around that 500 mark still, sir, so you got some improving to do.
I might have some improving to do, but so do a lot of teams. Few of those teams that we thought would be something at the beginning of the season, so far they're not able to get off the base too well. They're starting with the Bengals.
Yeah, they're not alone though. You know, the Bengals are off to a rough start. The Raiders, who I thought were going to be a competitive team, are off to a rough start. The Colts, who I thought they would at least be in contention in the AFC. I don't know that they were on par with the Bills for sure, maybe not even the Chiefs and the Chargers, but I thought they were a good squad, and they're stumbling out of the gates to begin with. There's a number of them, man, and then even the teams that are winning, some of them don't look so hot in the process. You know, they're getting wins, and that counts, and at the end of the year, you know, the W's and the L's will be added up, but, they haven't exactly been impressive in their victories.
Not too many of them, but I got to say, like, the Colts and the Bengals, really, for me, I don't know, man. Joe Burrow's going to need a – hope he's got good life insurance.
Yeah, you know what's tough, man, is it – they said that all the improvement – now, I will say this, okay? So I don't proclaim to be an offensive line guru, but from everything that I read and heard heading in, the belief was the talent was better on that offensive line. Now what I will say, though – is, and I've said this before, I believe in other conversations with you, the offensive line is a unique entity on a football team, kind of unique in sports in general, where you don't necessarily need to be the most talented. You need to play together. You need to be a cohesive unit. And while they might have added individually more talent, they might not have the time together that they need to show it on the field. So I'll tell you what, though, you're not wrong, man. If they don't get it figured out quick, I don't see how Burrow makes it through a season at the rate he's going. I mean, he's, you know, never mind the sacks, which obviously are terrible in themselves. Just the pressure, the hurries, the hits he's taking, you know, even if it's not counting in the stat category, that guy's getting pummeled two weeks in a row.
You have a guy like that, dude, and repeatedly getting beat up like that brings back memories of David Carr. And the Texans when he, was their first QB.
Or how about Jeff George in the Colts? Remember him?
Talent,
you know. And the guy who ran for his life for his whole career. I sure hope that isn't the case with Burrow, because I think he's a real talent, a great leader. He's a guy that I think can do really good things in the league. But, man, you cannot have – they have to get a fix fast or he's not going to make it.
Speaking of talent and running for your life, that old Justin Herbert trade, still interested in that, are you?
I don't know, man. I kind of like my Jalen Hurts side of things. I offered up your choice. Now, I will say Juju hasn't been very impressive. I gave you the option to pair Juju with Mahomes, but the original trade that I offered you was Cortland Sutton and Jalen Hurts for Justin Herbert, and you scoffed. Wanted me to throw Davante Adams in there, I think, if I recall. At this point, I don't know. I still like Herbert. I still think he's one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. But Hurts don't look too bad, man. And I'll tell you what, that offense as a whole, if they keep on the pace they're on, I'm not really sure what you do. I didn't expect a lot out of A.J. Brown. Going over there, I, to be honest with you, I wasn't a big Jalen Hurts believer. from a football standpoint. I think from a leadership standpoint, absolutely. I think he's a great leader. I just underestimated his ability to throw the football. You know, I knew he could run, and I knew he was a good leader, and, you know, he strikes me as a good leader of men and all of that. I thought he had good intangibles, but just the, you know, the ability to throw the football is actually pretty solid. And with a guy like A.J. Brown on the team, it's just he's a real difference maker, man. They still got Goddard, and they still got Devontae Smith, and you know, Miles Sanders is healthy now. I'll tell you what, the Eagles, you know, they look pretty solid.
Well, after week two, you know, I mean, again, it's week two. We got 16 more to go. But you'd have to say the Super Bowl would be Buffalo and Philadelphia after week two.
I would agree with – well, I don't think anyone's going to argue with the Buffalo side of things. They look amazing on both sides of the ball. So, yeah, and then the other most solid-looking team that's put to back-to-back quality performances, I think, would be the Eagles.
Few teams, you know, and again, we'll see. It's week two. Where they go in week three? Few teams came crashing back to earth. Vikings, everyone thought they were all world beaters after week one. They sure came crashing back on week two.
Yeah, I think, you know, I watched that game, and you know, they just got down early. I think that the Eagles just were able to control the ball. I don't know what the final was in the time of possession, but it had to have been 2-1. And, you know, it's just tough, man. It's tough on a defense. You know, the Eagles are picking up regular first downs. They're holding onto the ball. And, you know, it's just tough, man, when you get down and the other team just kind of leaning on you. I think the Vikings are still a pretty decent squad. I think the score is probably indicative of where those two teams are, but... Yeah, I mean, the Eagles were the superior team on that day, though. I don't know. The Vikings, I think they got something going there, though.
The other interesting, or a few other interesting games. At Baltimore-Miami game, what's up with the Baltimore there, man?
Well, dude, I mean, this was the week for it, man. I mean, you know, the Baltimore and Miami game was pretty epic, and both quarterbacks showed themselves well there. You know, that one, I mean, having a 21-point lead and blowing that, and then the other one was the Browns game where the Jets came back, you know, under the 2-minute warning to score two touchdowns and win the game. The combination of things that needed to take place in that game was just, I mean, it had to have been 1%, you know. Number one, Kareem Hunt could have just stayed in bounds on his run, and the game would have ended. They could have kneeled down from there. Number two, Nick Chubb could have not scored, and they could have just kneeled down and won the game on kneel downs. They didn't do either of those things, so they gave the Jets, like, hope. But they still got to score twice with no timeouts. And the Browns helped them out by missing an extra point. I mean, just the way it all went down was just a debacle. And, you know, Cleveland friends, this isn't unfamiliar territory for them.
No, a lot of situational awareness gaps again for that to happen. So we'll see. Every week I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. It's a mini drama. So let's get to plotting it out for week three. You want to pull up our picks and we'll just make them real quick?
Yeah, let's bang them out, man. Let's pull up week three.
I got to catch up here, man.
You're down a game. I will let you take the buyout now if you want it.
Nope. I'm okay. Planning my menu.
All right, lead us off then, Kelly. How about that? We're going to just start with the Thursday night game, Steelers at the Browns. Who you like?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns.
Yeah, I am as well. I don't want to dive into this one too much. I don't know where these two teams are. But I am going to go with the Browns as well.
Sounds good. What's up next?
Next on the docket, I'll pick Saints at Panthers. The 1-1 Saints, 0-2 Panthers. I'll keep it simple, man. I'll go with the Saints. I think they're the better football team. Not that I know anything at this point, but I'm going to guess that they're the better football team.
Yeah, we're not going to be different on this one. The Panthers aren't coming together yet. So, and go to Saints also.
All right. Game three, Texans at Bears.
I'll go with the Bears.
I'll tell you what, this is a team. We weren't wrong about the Texans and the Jaguars, I'll say that. They're scrappy, just like we thought they'd be. They're putting up fights, just like I thought that they would. And the Texans will put up a fight here as well. The Bears, they had better figure out something on offense. What they have going on is, I want to say, Justin Fields has attempted 28 total passes in two football games. I know for certain that Cole Kmet doesn't have a catch because I have him on one of my fantasy teams, and on a bunch of my best balls, I got him all over the place thinking that this was going to be his year. And I think the guy has a target in two games. So, they are running the ball pretty well, but, man, if the Bears got to take the reins off a little bit, man, you got to have some threat of downfield. That offense is one of the worst I've ever seen right now. So – all that said, the Bears are at home. They're tough there. I'll go with Chicago as well. I don't feel good about it, but I'm gonna take the home team in that one. Next up, my pick. This is a good one, and this is actually one that I thought about going out on a limb on. The Chiefs are playing at the Colts. So, obviously the Chiefs have looked amazing. They just beat the Chargers in a really good football game last week. Chiefs are they're really good, man. I just feel like, I can't believe the Colts are going to start, 0-2-1 on the season. It's hard to pick against the Chiefs, though, right? I learned my lesson when I take the Cardinals. I guess I'll stick with the Chiefs. I'll be a chicken, and go with the math. I guess.
Yeah, this is one of those games, dude. That this is why I don't bet on sports, because I felt some of the same pull on this. Like, really, the Colts are gonna go 0-3. With Jonathan Taylor and all the rest, you just know. You could go big on it and say, oh, yeah, but I can't pick against the Chiefs until they give me a better reason. So I'm going to be conservative or smart.
Yeah, we're just going to be both be chickens. But I put it this way, I would not be surprised. This is the kind of game that happens in the NFL all the time. All the logic, all the math, everything points in the direction of the Chiefs, right? Colts have looked terrible. Chiefs have looked great. Blah, 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 blah. And then the Colts beat the Chiefs. And that's just how the NFL goes, man. And this is just feels like the game of the week that's going to be like, what? What the heck is going on out there, So, anyway, but we both are chickens and went with the Chiefs, playing it safe. All right, next one. This is actually a really good game. This is actually for the first place in the division between two undefeated teams who both have looked impressive. One so more than the other. The Buffalo Bills are at the Miami Dolphins. Who you like there?
Yeah, so is Miami was ready to, build a statue for the quarterback last week. For one game, he was a star. Here again, I'm going to stick with the Buffalo until they give me a reason not to. Miami might have started to find something, but Buffalo already has it, so I got to go with them again until they give me a reason not to.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I actually like the Dolphins. I like what the Dolphins showed. Tua throwing for 460 yards and 6 touchdowns, and still not outproducing the other quarterback in the game in fantasy points, but. I had some questions whether Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle could both perform, right? Is there enough balls to go around? Can the two of them, for fantasy purposes, I know I bring it up quite a bit, but I'm heavily involved in it. And both of those guys were in the top 15 for wide receivers. I just don't see how that's possible, right? And now after the week that they had last week, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I guess I can see it. But like you said, man, there's not going to be a game this year unless something happens with injuries or something. I'm not picking against the Bills, man. They just look like Alabama looks, in college football. They are so solid top to bottom. They have no weaknesses. kicking game, offense is amazing, defense is amazing. I mean, they look like the real deal. So there will not be a team in the NFL that I pick against the Bills, to beat the Bills anyway, at least not for the foreseeable future.
I mean, I hope Miami can keep it up. I like that kind of football that they're playing down there. That's when the Dolphins start throwing the ball around the yard a lot, they've always been good, you know, going back Dan Marino days and even further back. So hopefully they finally put it together. But, you know, a lot of one-week wonders in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a good, solid football team, and they've risen up quite a bit. You know, you look at some of the other teams, like the Colts, the Raiders. You know, those are some teams that possibly even the you could throw the Bengals in that mix at 0-2. You know, there's a lot of AFC teams that I thought were going to be contending for playoff spots, and they don't look so hot, and the Miami Dolphins do. So, you know, I don't think they're a match for the Bills just yet, but I do think what they have is not I think it's sustainable. I think they can keep doing this. I think they can win football games. I just not against Buffalo. All right, next on the docket, sir. A chance for your – these are actually two interesting teams as well. The Detroit Lions going to Minnesota to play the Vikings. Both are sitting at 1-1. Lions coming off a win and the Vikings coming off a loss. Who do you like there?
It's a tough one, but I'm gonna go with Detroit.
Detroit. All right. You are a non-believer in the Vikings. I disagree entirely. I think the Vikings just ran into a little better football team. I think, the score was a little more than it should have been, probably. I think the Eagles just kind of ground and pounded them and wore them into submission. I think coming home in a division game, they're sitting in first place in the division still. And I think that they will get right against the Lions. So I'll take the Minnesota. So there's your chance, buddy. That's the first game we got different, sir. First chance for you to make up some of that ground. All right. Next on the docket. Here's another interesting one. There's a lot of good games this week, actually, man. I like some of these games. This should tell us some stuff, I think. So we got the Baltimore Ravens coming off that heartbreaker that we just talked about against the Dolphins. And they're going to be traveling to New England, both teams at 1-1. Ravens historically, now even when the Patriots were good, real, real good, the Ravens always gave them fits. Think they're going to give them fits this week?
Yeah, I do. I got to go with the Ravens here. I mean, I know they kind of blew it at the end, but they're the better football team in my mind. And I think they're going to try and get right here.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Patriots are you know, they're well coached and they'll be scrappy and hang tight in games, but I think they're outmatched talent wise across the league. You know, you look at some of the other teams. I just don't think the Patriots line up man for man well. You know, even with great coaching and everything, I think the Ravens are probably a little ticked off too. So I also will go with Baltimore there. All right, next up, I'll pick this one. I'm just going to keep going back to the same well, man. It's the Bengals at the Jets. Jets coming off of a miracle victory. And just a collapse by Cleveland. But the Jets got the win. They had to get down there and score. And they didn't quit fighting. Give them credit, man. They got the W. Bengals are another team that, you know, while they do have all those problems – and they've shot themselves all about their own feet repeatedly, they've still been in football games. For, you know, the first one, I think they had 5 turnovers in that game. And they still had a chance at the end. And so I think the Bengals are hopefully going to get it right here. Jets are a good team to get right on, so I'll go with Cincinnati.
I'll just say this, boy, if the Jets somehow pulled another win out, I think the football internet would melt down, man. I still say it's the Jets, and I still can't believe they actually won the game. I mean, they did, but as you said earlier, the number of things that had to happen for them to win, it's still the Jets, man. So I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, moving on. These are, you want to talk about a couple hungry teams. The Las Vegas Raiders are going to travel to Tennessee to play the formerly number one overall AFC rep in the Titans. They're both sitting at 0-2 right now, which, you know, we'll see. Like you said, many times it's a long season. I don't think either of these teams anticipated being 0-2, though, and I know neither of them want to be 0-3, and neither of them think they should be.
Yeah, and how's your buddy there, Devontae Adams? How many balls he catch last week, dude?
Hey, Devontae's doing just fine. He's just fine. So they threw it a little more to Waller. I wonder how much they'll be throwing to Renfro after the dude coughed it up, like, back-to-back. So, you know, one bust in the game.
This is going to be a tough game, though. Dude. I mean, already 0-2, the numbers are. What is, I don't have it off the top of my head, but if even starting 0-2, your chances for the playoffs are significantly diminished. You don't want to be 0-3. I mean, you're just digging a hole, and it's weird that for some teams your whole season can be over so early on. I gotta take the Raiders. The Raiders have a better team here, in my opinion. They should win this game, but I wouldn't have expected either one of them to be 0-2 either. So, but I'm gonna go with the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm just gonna ditto everything you just said, buddy. I mean, it's a tough one. Tennessee's at home. They're a prideful, hard-nosed team, but I believe the Raiders are better than them. And, you know, I don't know. I keep picking the team that I think is better, and I'm only doing so-so at it. But
yeah, well, there's a reason why this isn't my day job.
Yeah, so, all right, we're both on Oakland, Las Vegas. And, all right, moving on to the next one. The team we talked a little bit about are going to play a division game. The Philadelphia Eagles traveling to the Washington Commanders. Commanders kind of chucking it around the yard a little bit. Look a little different than I anticipated they would. And Mr. Wentz, all in all, looked pretty good, man. I didn't realize that this is what their offense was going to look like. But they're getting a variety of people involved and you know, they're moving the ball pretty good. All that said, though, you know, we've already said that so far to this point, the Eagles look like the best team in the NFC, you know, 2 weeks, mind you. But I just think that what they do travels to the snow. It travels to the rain. It travels into domes. I mean, the Eagles can do what they're doing at home or on the road. And so I'll be taking them in this contest.
Can't really add too much to what you're saying. Washington has surprised me. I didn't think their offense would be as mobile and just getting chucking the ball around the field as much as they have, but they are, and so they may win more than I thought. But here again, I know it's in week three. I'm already in my until you show me otherwise. I'm gonna ride a few guys, and Philly's one of them.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I just think what they can do is going to match up well against anybody. So, all right, next on the list, your pick, sir. The 1-1 Jacksonville Jaguars are traveling to Los Angeles to play the 1-1 Los Angeles Chargers and their banged up quarterback.
This is an interesting game because if you would have asked me at the beginning of the year, I'd have said, "Hey, man." The Chargers, no doubt. And maybe I'm too much of the fairy tale or whatever. Jacksonville's coming on. Doug Peterson's got it going on there. I think the people are buying in. I'm going to pick against my own guy, and I'm going to go for an upset here. Herbert Ribs got beat up. A little, so I'm gonna go out on a bit of a limb here and take Jacksonville.
Yeah, this wouldn't surprise me at all. I actually don't know. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I actually don't know off the top of my head what the line is, but I bet it's not real big. You know, actually, it might not even be available with the Herbert news. Probably not solidified at this point, but. Oh, it is out. Seven points. I'll tell you what, I'll take the Jags in the 7 all day. So I think they're going to be able to compete in this game. I do think, however, that the Chargers' defense is enough. I do believe the Chargers have Super Bowl aspirations. And while they are banged up, I still think that they're going to be able to find a way to pull out a victory here. So I'll go with the Los Angeles Chargers. There's another opportunity. I will not be surprised at all if the Jags win this game, though. You know, I do think they have it going on as well. A lot of what we talked about early on in the preseason. Just got to feel amazing to be a Jaguar right now after what they went through. You know, life is so much about perspective and, you know, what you've been through. And I think what they had to go through and endure last year under Urban Meyer and just the...
I think they're just feeling like a cloud's lifted, man. I mean, it's, and I don't know, it's got to be tough to be in a situation like that. I mean, because it's, you know, it's not like if you're on a football team, you can just quit and go somewhere else.
No, you're exactly right. You're stuck there, man. But I think the moves that they made as well, I think they got lucky. Getting James Robinson to come back kind of ahead of schedule. I didn't think anyone thought he would be as effective as he's been this fast. And, you know, picking up Christian Kirk and Zay Jones to pair with Marvin Jones Jr., the receiving core is actually really good. Not world beaters. I mean, they're not going to blow your mind, but they're very solid. And I think we're starting to see what we all thought we would see from Trevor Lawrence. And he's still got growing to do. He was basically entirely stunted last year. I mean, he had almost no development because of what was going on there. And now he's in the early stages of where he probably should have been. And you're starting to see, okay, this guy's got it. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Jags win that game.
I think Doug Peterson's got a good football mind. And I just think, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and more of the season will tell. I think they're only going to improve as the season goes on. All right, next up, the Los Angeles Rams is going to travel to the miracle victory Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals coming off that win against the Raiders that, you know, probably shouldn't have won the game. I mean, took some miracles at the end. I'm not sure how many attempts they got from inside the 10. At the end of that game, just to push it to overtime, got a call of a 2-point conversion to AJ Green that, you know, was ruled a catch on the field and not enough to overturn it. So they go to overtime, and then Renfro just kept spitting the ball out, and eventually it cost him in the end. That was interesting. So you want to talk about something, and they just kind of brushed over it. So I'm not sure if you followed this game at all. But at the end of this game, the very end of this game, Raiders are moving the ball, passed out to Renfro. You know, he's fighting along the sideline, coughs up the ball. Ball bounces around a little bit. Cardinals pick it up, man. And the guy's running down the sidelines, approaches the end zone, and look like DeSean Jackson, the ball out of the back of the end zone. You know, I mean, his whole body was not across the goal line. And he chucks the ball up into the stands. And everybody's talking about, hey, big win, you know, blah, blah, blah. And at first glance, you know, I was watching this game live. And I'm like, dude, can I get another look at that? Because it sure looked like, now mind you, I was kind of pulling for the Raiders in this game. But I'm like, man, sure looked like he let go of that ball pretty quick. Could we at least, like, see it, you know? And nobody's even making reference to it. No one's even talking about it. The announcers aren't talking about it. It's like nobody else on the planet saw this. What I saw was, man, it sure looked like that was pretty close. And so then they're going to review. And, you know, you can listen to the TV announcers just, you know, kind of like, yeah, they're going to review, just like all swerving plays. But what a great win by the Cardinals. And they're showing the fumble repeatedly. Yeah, he fumbled. Okay, his knee wasn't down. Got it. The ball's out. He clean pickup. No question about any of this. And they showed us that 12 different times from 12 different angles, right? Got it. He's got the ball. There's no question about the recovery. I want to see when he crosses the goal line, does he still have the ball in his hand? And it takes forever. And finally, after 4 minutes, obviously everything's still in review, and I'm watching it on my TV saying, yeah, they're looking at him crossing the goal line, man. That's what they're looking at. And then finally the announcers catch on. They're like, oh, and then they show us a view of it. And we get one quick look, and it was just a kind of a frustrating little, you know, as a TV viewer, I'm kind of like, hey, man, let, you know, quit showing the sidelines. Let's take it back to football, and let's see if he still had that ball when he crossed the goal line, because this very easily could be a touchback Raider ball, first and 10 at the 25. Let's start again, you know? And anyway, as it all ended up, the Cardinals did end up winning the game. You know, they did verify that he still had the ball barely in his hand as he was crossing the goal line and stuff. But anyway, after all of that, the Rams are going to travel to Arizona and play the Cardinals. I think I'm up on this one. I actually think this is going to be a really tough division game. The way things are looking with, 49ers will still be a contender, I think. You know, I'm not sure that they're not better off with Garoppolo under center, but I don't think it changes much from them, you know, who they are. I think the 49ers will still be in the mix. But, you know, these are two other teams that should be fighting for the division as well. And a team I'm going to give an early edge to, it looks like they bounced back after their week one kind of laydown. I think I'm going to take the Rams and get them to 2-1 and up on top of the division. Who
do
you like, Kelly?
You know, it's interesting you talk about that Raider game. I just want to give a shout out to longtime sports announcer Brett Musburger. I actually was gonna listen to that game on the radio, didn't. So for the last few years, you know, Brett Musburger, who used to be on CBS forever and all that, was actually the play-by-play voice of the Raiders. And I got some announcers I like, and he's one of them, but I tuned it in, and some other guy. You do your searching. I hadn't followed it, and he was just a transitional guy for a few years, but they've now hired somebody else, so he's back off just doing his gambling businesses and all that. So... anyway, I've always enjoyed his announcing. With all that said, I got to go with the Rams here. We're not finding that many differences. Again, you know, I don't know which Cardinals team it's going to be, but they're one of those teams that too much odd stuff happens to them, and I think the Rams are going to right their ship or continue to get it going in the right direction.
Yeah, agreed. And we'll see. They'll play. I wouldn't be surprised if this is another one if the Cardinals win. I mean, they rise up when they're not supposed to and win games early. I talked about that. That's kind of why I picked them against the Chiefs early on, and I was way off on that. I just, I took a shot in the dark. I wouldn't be surprised. Division game. Cardinals can score points, so you never know. But the Rams should win that game. All right, next up. So we got the 0-2 Falcons at the 1-1 Seahawks.
What's the line on that game, man? Because I looked that up, and I thought when I saw something about it, I'm going with the Hawks, but the game was closer than I thought it should be. I should say, I don't mean the Hawks. I'm sorry, I don't know why I even said the Hawks. I'm going with Atlanta.
Oh.
I think I was thinking of basketball or something, but... I'm going to take Atlanta.
Kind of got a soft spot for them Seahawks. You just believe they're just not that good a football team.
I don't. Show me that they are, man.
You're not wrong. I don't think either of these teams.
They shouldn't have won their first game if Denver had a coach that knew how to do anything.
Fair point. And a lot of that was probably emotionally driven, too, you know, and... this game is the pick, so it doesn't get any closer than that, buddy. He said you thought it was a close game. It's pick 'em.
And before you make your pick, how about the Denver coach, man? So first he says, it was the right thing to do the field goal. Then he's just a clueless guy, man. If they keep on this way, he's going to be a 1-year coach, I think. It's too early to know, but he seems over his head.
Yeah. I think there's a couple coaches out there like that, man.
I mean, so I'm sorry, but when you're a head coach, dude, your number one job is not offense or defense. It is game management and being able to make the big decisions. I mean, the ultimate, where this is where the buck stops. And that's your number one job.
Agreed.
You have people to help you with everything else.
You have Sean McVay, who's going to have a heavy influence on the offense in Los Angeles at all times. You got Bill Belichick, who's always had a heavy influence on the defense in New England at all times. I mean, you guys are going to shade one way or another. Generally, they had a position, and generally, rarely, once in a while, a guy will come from like special teams or something like that. But most of the time, a guy was either an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator before he got a head coaching position. So obviously, he's going to put a little more time in with that section, you know, or with that unit. But, yeah, you're not wrong. At the end of the day, the head coach, you know, his job is he's the head coach, man. He's in charge of all the other coaches. A lot of coaches on a football team, and especially at the NFL level. And I mean, even at the college level and even the high school level nowadays, man, I mean, there's a lot of guys. So your job is to make sure everyone else is doing their job. And like you said, when it comes time, when you're going to call timeout, are we going to kick a field goal? Are we going to go for it? Are we going to punt? You know, on and on. This is what you get the bucks for, buddy. You know, make a good choice here. And he took rightfully so, took a lot of heat for, you know, pulling the offense off the field and trying a hope and a prayer field goal, you know, when there's plenty of time left. You know, and I don't know if he mismanaged that or if that was tactical, if he was going to had it set in his head, hey, if we get to this yard line, we're kicking a field goal no matter what. But they let all that time come off the clock. I want to say they started the play with a minute and 11 in that Seahawks-Broncos game week one. And there was 20 seconds left by the time they lined up to kick a field goal. They had all three timeouts. It was ridiculous. So, yeah, it is funny that he backtracked it. Well, after further consideration, yeah, I messed up. It's like, yeah, you did, dude. So, all right, let me make my pick. I'm actually going to go with the Hawks at home. I think they can run the ball. Atlanta's not that impressive to me, so it's a pick-em game. Excuse me, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, you know, these two teams will be likely top 10 picks in the draft next year. You know, that's just where they're at right now. With the personnel that they have. So it could go either way, but I'm going to take the Hawks at home. They're tough at home. Next up, this is a big game, and I don't know how I feel about it going in. The Green Bay Packers are going to travel to Tampa and play the Bucks. I'll let you lead off here. What are your thoughts on this game, Kelly?
This is a classic head and heart game, buddy. I mean, historically, you know, Green Bay hasn't fared so well against Brady.
Not many do.
No, well, there is that too. I can't pick against the Packers. Although, I will say this: if I wasn't a Packer fan, I'd pick the Tampa Bay in this game. But yeah, I am a Packer fan, and so this is my heart ruling out. Green Bay looked a little better in week two, but they just got a lot to work out, man.
Well, so are the Bucks. That's kind
of the other thing is, you know, their one receiver is out for this game. That's so we'll see. And maybe the Brady magic is wearing off. Maybe he's getting a little long in the tooth, but not much. That's crazy. That guy's like 45 years old. He's been playing football for however long he has, and he's still better than probably 80% of the quarterbacks starting in the league.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, time and time again, man. I mean, Brady's just a freak, you know. You just don't see it in sports. Guys playing, you know, guys will play that long, you know, guys in other sports have played into their 40s, but not been effective. You know, Brady is elite still, and that's the mind-blowing part, is how well he plays. Not that he's still playing, but it just, you know, he's good. But, you know, they lost. That offensive line has just been absolutely decimated. And the offense has not looked good. I mean, they scored 19 against the Cowboys, and then they scored 20 against the Saints, and, you know, not in an impressive fashion. And, yeah, like you said, Mike Evans is out, got a little brouhaha. there's some history between those two. You know, Saints and Bucks miss each other quite a bit. And so emotions ran high, and they're going to be without Mike Evans, who's, you know, I think undeniably their number one wide receiver. So that stings. The one thing that has been incredibly impressive, though, is that Bucks defense is pretty tough, man. So they gave up 3 points to the Cowboys. And if you recall, the Cowboys looked terrible in that game. And we kind of gave all the credit to the Cowboys for just being terrible and talking about how bad Dak is. And then, you know, Dak ended up getting hurt in that game. But and now after 2 weeks, I'm kind of actually thinking maybe the Buccaneers just made them look bad. And that defense is ferocious. So I don't know what the Packers are going to be able to do to combat that defense. You know, they have no downfield threat at all. So you're asking this team to move the ball methodically at 4 and 7 yards a clip and try to continually get first downs. Now, their two running backs look great. I do believe they're going to be able to get some first downs. I do believe they'll be able to score some points. But the Packers' defense has not been impressive, and I think when you compare the Bucks' offense, which has been struggling, but then you line it up against the Packers' defense, it's like, well, I think the Bucks will still be able to score some, right? And then you line it up the other way, the Packers' offense, which has not been impressive, and line that up against the Bucks' defense, which has been very impressive. I just feel like, okay, you know, one side is going to win more than the other. So I actually be going with Tampa Bay. I also am a Packer fan, but I try to compartmentalize, you know, the different things that I get involved with football. I'll be rooting for the Packers. I'll be happy to give you the win here, but I try real hard to pick with my head, and I think the Bucks are probably the better football team in all three phases. So this will be a one that I'll be happy to let you win, though.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing will be the Packers have not shown me, and as you said, hey, they got some really good running backs, okay, but you got to have a little bit of a downfield threat, or else the running game won't work all game. Their running backs are good, don't get me wrong. They're quite good. Now, maybe, you know, Aaron Jones, maybe they'll figure out. I mean, he had a heck of a game. And maybe they'll figure it out and they'll move it more. But I was thinking about what you said actually before. Because, man, maybe it is, you know, I was after Dallas's first week, I'm like, oh, yeah, they are just that bad. But, you know, again, maybe like you said, it is that Tampa Bay made him that look that bad because they were not nearly as bad in week two.
Yeah, and in the Saints with Winston under center, you know, you always know you're in for a lot of highs and lows with him, and so it's hard to put much stock. We'll know more as the season wears on, but I'll say this: to this point, from what I've seen, the Bucs defense is legit, and they're going to be able to carry that team. So you got the Bucs defense and Tom Brady. And he's shown it time and time again. You can kind of put anything around that guy. He'll find a way to get some first downs and kick a field goal from time to time. So, you know, the Buccaneers will manufacture some points, I think, offensively. And I think the Packers are going to struggle. No, I think, you know, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, I'd line them up. You know, the only one that I can think maybe stands out as a better backfield would be Chubb and Hunt. But when you talk about a 1-2 punch, the tandems, you know, the Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordons and the Pennies and the Walkers, and you go around the whole league and find you know, the teams that have a couple good backs. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard are both pretty talented. Zeke's, you know, getting a little older, but still has a little gas left. But I would put Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon right up at the top, man. I mean, they're right there with anybody else. The only other guys I would say that maybe are ahead of them are Chubb and Hunt. And so, you know, you can rely on those guys. They're doing a good job of giving the ball to them in space. You know, I think they have them both on the field at the same time, which I think is brilliant. And, you know, Jones is a pretty – from a running back position, Aaron Jones is an elite pass catcher. He would be a decent wide receiver if you put him in some different pads and threw a different number on him. But, you know, you find some ways to manufacture some first downs and you know, but I just think your chunk plays are going to be like 11. You know what I mean? I think there's going to be a whole lot of twos and threes mixed in there and then some sacks and losses and everything else. I'm just picturing how the Packers are going to move the ball. And like you said, Kelly, man, you've got to at least have the threat. And it has to be a legitimate threat. Like, I'm not talking like you just throw the ball down the field once in a while, but no one ever believes you're going to be able to complete it anyway, so nobody's scared. You got to have a legitimate threat that, hey, we can score 7 points in 6 seconds if you don't guard the back end, right? If you don't put somebody to protect the center field, we'll score a touchdown on you, man. And I just don't feel like teams are scared of that from the Packers right now, which is crazy because Aaron Rodgers is arguably the greatest deep ball thrower of all time. He throws one of the most accurate balls in NFL history at every level. But, you know, his deep balls are just gold, man. And to have a guy who's that good and then have nobody can catch the ball is just, like, so frustrating, man, as a Packer fan. Like, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they'll figure it out, man. Dobbs looks good. Christian Watson's off to a slow start. But, you know, you can see flashes of the talent, the physical traits. So maybe, you know, over the course of the season, they'll work that out and add that piece into their puzzle. But right now, I just don't think they have it.
Yeah,
all right, let's try to get through this last couple. Go ahead, Kelly.
No, bring it up. What's up next?
49ers at the Broncos. 1-1 49ers led by Jimmy Garoppolo now. Traveling to Denver.
Which this one is interesting because I actually think the 49ers are a better team with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. Again, really unfortunate what happened in the game last week. But I just... I'm going to go with the 49ers. I'm not sold on the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm actually in agreement with you, man. So on all levels, you know, it was very unfortunate what happened to Trey Lance, man. And, you know, Jimmy said it. He said, hey, dude, I've been there, man. Exact same thing happened to me. And it sucks. And, you know, he's a tough kid. And I think Jimmy knows that his time in San Francisco is probably limited. You know, I mean, they've kind of already showed their cards that they're going to go a different direction. But he's a pro, and I bet he steps up, and he's probably got something to prove now. If he didn't before, and he's playing with house money, what does he care? You know, he might as well chuck the ball around. You know what I mean? Like, you guys didn't even want me here. So, you know what? I'm going to do what I want. And I'm gonna chuck it deep to Brandon Ayuk, and I'm going to try and show what my value is and maybe get myself another big contract before my career is over. So I bet they play well.
And I think Denver's still trying to figure out what do they got and what do they got in Russell Wilson. How are they going to use him? And it's not just the field goals. It's just I'm not impressed by their coach so far. Again, who knows, man? But I noticed they did watch the Denver game last week. Already some boo birds out there in the Mile High City. Last week.
Yeah, we'll know a little bit more. I'd say, you know, another 3, 4, 5 weeks or so. But Russell Wilson himself doesn't look good. And I know he was injured last year and he kind of played through it and struggled a little bit. But he didn't look good last year. And now he's off to new team, new offense, blah, blah, blah. New guys catching the ball. So we give him a pass and say, oh, you know, he's just still learning his way a little bit. The coach sucks. Okay, so, you know, but... It's a non-zero chance that Russell Wilson just ain't got the same juice he used to have, dude. And so, he's got equal or better weapons in Denver than he had in Seattle. Now, Metcalf and Lockett were both, you know, real good receivers, and he was obviously dialed in really well with Metcalf from other time playing together. But Sutton and Judy and Javonte Williams, I mean, he's got good guys in Denver. Is at least equal to as far as from the skill position. And so if you can't do it here, man, I mean, you know, that's on you, Russ.
Well, one of the challenges with quarterbacks like Wilson, I got no, nothing against him, man. But their style of play, the traditional pocket passer, yeah, he's not going to break away and, you know, run for a first down. And all the other stuff that the quarterbacks like Wilson did and that whole threat that makes them so elusive in the first half of their careers. But the shelf life of that stuff, every year that they do that, it deteriorates. And it's not like their passing skills increase. So
not at the same rate.
No, I mean, you know, so you don't all of a sudden become an elite pocket passer as your running and mobility deteriorate. And I think that's what's going on with Russell Wilson right now. His mobility is less. He got beat up and he's older. He's like 33. Again, he's still probably in top two-thirds of NFL quarterbacks. But what made his game so good was the combination of elusiveness and a moderate passing ability, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Kelly, and that's kind of what I was getting at. It's like, hey, this might just be how good Russell Wilson is. And, if that's the case, the Broncos aren't very good. You know, they're a 500 team at best if he's a
and
the pack kind of quarterback.
As a, you know, Gordon getting long in the tooth, 8 years in. Love him, Bucky Badger. But, he's just not the same guy.
No, they're not losing anything. Javonte Williams is a guy.
Man. He is.
Javonte Williams is unbelievable.
That guy's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, some of the advanced metrics on him and missed tackles and his elusiveness and yards after contact and, I mean, his numbers are off the charts, but never mind all of that. Never mind all the stats and the numbers on a piece of paper. If you watch the guy play or listen to him being described on the radio, the guy is just a monster, man. He's so hard to bring down. He's got moves. That guy is a premier NFL running back. So, the more he gets the ball, the better the Broncos are going to be. All right, man, we got one more. Let's get through this of course, prime time, we got to get our force fed, our NFC East. It's basically the National NFC East League on television. So we're going to get the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants because NFL believes that everybody loves the NFC East best. So that's going to be our Monday night special, Cowboys traveling to New York to take on the 2-0 Giants. Who do you like there?
I'm going to go with the Giants. I think that they're not world beaters, but I think that the team believes right now. And I just think they're going to, if this was a game was in Dallas, I'd take the Cowboys probably. But since it's in the Meadowlands, I'm going to go with the Giants.
Yeah, nobody really like being better than the Cowboys, right? So I'm sure the fans will be in full throat. And right now, the Giants are healthy. They're playing pretty decent football, man. Better than what I think people gave them credit for. I'll tell you what makes all the difference is having a healthy Saquon Barkley. That poor guy, dude, has just battled through like freak injury after freak injury. I saw a picture of him on the sidelines after his ankle injury last year. Looked like they cut a softball in half and stuck it under his skin at his ankle. And the guy was still trying to gut it out, man. I mean, he's unbelievable talent. When he came into the league, he was talked about in the same ilk like they talked about Andrew Luck when he was coming out at the quarterback position or Trevor Lawrence. And the guy is a freak at his specific position. And you've seen glimpses of it at times, you know, in moments here, but the guy just battled injuries repeatedly. So he looked healthy. And if you got a guy like that on your team, you know, carrying the rock and catching passes out of the backfield, and someone you have to legitimately respect, that opens everything else up. And I think Daniel Jones is competent enough to distribute the ball. They got good playmakers. Galladay just seems like an entirely a waste. What a waste of talent he is. But they, you know, they got a lot of other guys on that team, man, that can play their position well. And I think Daniel Jones is at least competent enough to distribute it to them, get it in their hands. And I think the Giants are going to be I mean, the NFC is wide open, man. Anybody who wants the NFC can have it. And Giants are that kind of team that just rise up, like, you know, every sixth year and could be way better than what people thought they were going to be. And I'm now that they're 2-0, they go to 3-0. I'm kind of starting to wonder if this might be that year. So I'll be taking them as well, buddy.
All right. Is that the last one?
Yeah, that's going to get us through the picks. Anything else on your mind in the world of sports?
Just briefly, you know, I know when we kind of did a little show prep, we talked about trying to get to some other stuff. Might have to table some of it, but I do want to shout out Aaron Judge having quite the season.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this in a previous episode where, you know, the guy bet on himself and looks like he's going to win that bet. So, you know, we also talked a little bit up here about the conversation of MVP in the American League. And, you know, I know chicks dig the long ball, man. And you know, home runs, you know, get a lot of attention. Everybody likes home runs, buddy. But Shohei Ohtani is undeniably the most valuable player in the American League, man. I mean, I just don't even know. I love what Judge is doing. I think it's great. And I think it's I'm happy for him. And I think it's great for baseball and everything else. But, yeah, man. And I just think what Ohtani's can do, you know, nobody else does that, man. And he's good.
It is outrageous to me that, and just frustrating. Man, the Los Angeles Angels, whatever they want to be called, they've had a couple of the most amazing players, and they're squandering their careers.
Oh, yeah. Trout was entirely wasted.
I mean, and now Trout has reached. Yeah, and more power. Yeah, you know, but we got this incredible baseball player. He's like an elite in the top pitcher and hitter. I mean, never happened in my lifetime.
No, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, you're a hair older than I am, and this is just.
And we should be hearing about this and seeing it every night.
Yep.
But instead, whatever their record is, you know. And why? I don't know, man. I don't know why they're so bad. But it's really unfortunate that kind of talent, you know, I mean, fine, games get blown out and they make a joke out of position players pitching. This is a legitimate pitcher, you know. And the other parts of this game aren't suffering. To me, that's quite incredible, and I don't know if I was a voter. I don't know how you could. Again, you want to have. I think the whole MVP in all sports is kind of ridiculous.
It's a joke.
You want to have, you know, whatever most impressive offensive player or something like that. Fine, give it to Aaron Judge. But as far as most valuable player to their team. But we'll see.
The guy's doing two jobs.
I know.
Both of them at an all-star level. You know what I mean? Like, who else in all of sports does that? You know, it's like Tom Brady doing what he does and throwing 42 touchdown passes and then leading the league in tackles. You know what I mean? Like, nobody does that, man. I mean, what he's doing is incredible.
Most guys...
It's too bad.
Most guys, okay, I pitch, now I do all this other routine the other 4 days. I got my whole recovery and whatever, 2 days in, I throw a bullpen session or however they do it. Oh, not him. Oh, I'm not pitching today? Okay, I guess I'll go hit.
Or and do a good job of it. You know, yeah. Yeah, so. Anyway, I mean, I'm not trying to talk down Judge. I do think Judge is a great story. I love it, man. I love it for him. And like I said, I love it for baseball. He seems like, it sucks he's a Yankee. You know, is what it is, man. And you know, all of that, I'm happy for him.
I like the story, and like I said, the other on another one of our recordings, tell you, man, every time that guy hits a home run, a check someone's going to write to him is going up and up.
Yeah. See, another guy who bet on himself and looks like he might get paid. I mean, it's a long season to go. You just got to keep your fingers crossed that he stays healthy and continues to produce at the rate he's in. But Lamar Jackson is one that, you know, he just said, all right, let's just do it then. You know what? He wanted a contract or tried to get it. I don't agree. In this day and age, you know, I wouldn't represent myself in court if I needed to. I'm traffic court, maybe, but, you know, and representing yourself at this level, I think, is a mistake. But all that said, I think that I think Lamar Jackson's betting on himself. Someone's going to write that guy a big check, too, man.
Yeah, I think so. I can kind of understand some of the rookies who maybe want to represent themselves because of how slotted everything in there, and there really isn't much leeway at all on rookie contracts. You know, it's all set out where you're going to be and not a lot to do. But for someone like him, you know what? He's a grown man, obviously pretty talented and able to make his own choices. So, I'll never call anybody. You want to bet on yourself and you produce, more power to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've both said that a couple of times, man. I mean, I'm you know, just, I love it, man. I love that guys are like, you know, this is what I think I'm worth. And if other people don't agree, then fine, I'll prove it to you. So, and I think that's what both of those guys are doing, man. And I love it for them individually. And I think it's cool for sports.
Well, all right, Chris, you know, next week we'll have another episode, look at the NFL. I'd say college is starting to get out of the blowout games, you know. I like college football some, but the first month of the season is often such ridiculous games.
Yeah, but, I mean, we usually get a couple.
So, yeah, and we've had a couple
of matchups. Yeah, and this kind of starts to, I mean, we already know that the SEC and the Big Ten are the premier conferences, have been for a little bit now. SEC is kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. But these early games, you do get some matchups. You do get some Pac-12s and some various games between, like, you know, conferences, and it might not be the premier game, you know. It might not be the best versus the best. Clemson might not be playing Alabama. It might be more like Florida State, you know, playing Tennessee or something like that. But which, actually, Tennessee is actually pretty good this year too. But you know, we're getting close, man. We're only about a week or two away from you know, there being a series of big matchups, you know, and start to really define college football. So maybe in another week or so, man, we'll do a little episode on college sports and where they stand currently. Look at maybe some betting odds and see who, you know, Vegas likes, and then, you know, see from what we've seen. I know you and I both kind of follow college football. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it a little bit.
And then we can also talk about, because I look forward to this, and they should have been doing it a long time ago, this extending the playoffs to more teams. Four in football is just ridiculous. So we can talk about that, because I think that's going to open it up. One loss at the beginning of the year shouldn't ruin a team's season, man.
Yeah, and I mean, but I think they got it to a point now when they went to four. So, you know, 6 years ago, one loss at the beginning of the year just it ruined you, man. Your season was done. At least for a hope for a national championship. I mean, you have, you know, a shot at run or runner if you win out and some things break your way you know, you win your conference and on, right? And a couple other teams lose along the way and things like that. But the way it is now, you can lose one early, and as long as you truck through the remainder of your schedule and win your conference championship, you can get back in it. And what I would like, and what they're going to do, I mean, you know, it just, we just got to wait, man. The contracts are ridiculous how long they are. What I like is getting some of these other non-power conferences, getting the whoever the darling is this year. Give them a shot, man. Let them go out there. It's a football game. You just never know, man. So let them go play. And, you know, if they get throttled by Clemson, then so be it. But at least you let them show up. And then getting a couple of these other, like you said, the guys who lost the game early, you know, Georgia, Alabama, play each other. They lose and one doesn't go to the conference championship. Well, they're still pretty damn good teams, man. If they played again, the result might be the other way, right? So let's give them another crack at it. Let's put them in the brackets and see how they fare. So, yeah, it won't be too long, man. We'll have it.
All right, man. We'll have some more food for thought on that in the next few weeks as well. Thanks again to everybody who listens. And as always, Chris, great to catch up with you. And enjoy the weekend of games. And we'll be talking next week.
Sounds good, Kelly. Man, always a pleasure, buddy.